The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sexuality.
Get your official Adam Sank Show merchandise at adamsank.com. T-shirts, tank tops, mugs, masks, just about everything you can think of emblazoned with the Adam Sank Show logo. Go to adamsank.com to order your merch today. Thank you.
Warning, the program you're about to hear contains highly offensive and indecent material.
This is the Adam Sank Show.
If it's in my hand, I'm going to suck it.
Powered by DNR Studios. And now...
the one, the only, Adam Sank!
Bottom.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, that music can only mean one thing, which is that it is Pride. It is Pride weekend, motherfuckers. Woo-hoo! If you're listening live here in New York City, or Chicago, or Seattle, Denver, San Francisco, or in Puerto Rico, a happy Pride to you if you're in any of those cities. And if you're in any other cities, there's no Pride for you. There's only shame. Welcome to the Adam Sank Show. It is 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturday, June 26, 2021 at dnrstudios.com, the only place to hear this podcast live and throughout the week that it first airs. Don't forget to download the new DNR Studios app. It makes listening a snap. Leave us your ratings and reviews on iTunes or wherever else you listen. Email me, at adam@adamsank.com. Hey, if you're listening live, give us a call. Wish us a happy Pride. It's 804-TALK-ASS. You can call anytime, even when we're not on the air, and leave us a voicemail. Like the Facebook page, download the comedy albums, get your official ass merch, t-shirts, tank tops, even the Delta variant of COVID. The link to all of that is adamsank.com. And finally, it is podcast award season once again. So if you're listening to this anytime between July 1st and July 31st, is there a July 31st, Joey?
Yes, there is.
Yes. Then go to podcastawards.com, register as a nominator, and nominate us. Nominate the ass in the LGBTQ category and the People's Choice categories. Today, we have a fabulous, fabulous show because we have not one but two in-studio guests. They are a Broadway power couple, actor-singer Daniel Reichard and choreographer Patrick McCollum. They will be live in studio, but first, it's time to fade down that music and welcome a blast from the past. A co-host who has not done this show, I want to say since 2018, is that possible?
Yeah, 2017, I think. July of 2017, maybe was the last time.
I had the show in 2017. Maybe. You would know better than I, because this is Joey DeGrandis, who has a highly, what is it?
Highly superior autobiographical memory.
So what date do you think it was that you were on the show, Joey?
I was going to go with July 9th, 2017. You had Joshua on?
I don't remember.
Elaine, I want to say. We'll have to verify
Irene?
That.
I think you mean Joanne and Irene.
Yeah, Joanne and Irene.
We're finding the cracks in the memory.
Yes, he was. Yeah. It's been a while.
Some actually, superior.
You're right. I do remember the picture. It was a while ago. We took a picture in the old studio.
Yeah. Bemis?
Bremis.
Yeah.
I believe you're right.
Sorry about that.
I remember we talked about the Mad Pooper. That's a historic episode. We play that episode a lot.
Yeah.
It was very funny. But welcome back, Joey.
Great to be here, Adam. Thanks for having me.
It's a shame that it took us 4 years to get you back, but you're a fabulous co-host.
Always good to be on the ass, in the ass.
It's a pleasure to see you. Hey, I want to thank Wayward Tom, one of our listeners, who sent a lovely card
Really beautiful card, just talking about how much he enjoyed the show. And he has actual monogram stationery that says Wayward Tom.
Yeah, and it's great.
Well, he so hand great. Wrote it, too. How about that?
Yeah.
How vintage.
It's very old-fashioned and graceful, and I appreciate it. Also, I wanted to let you guys know that I have created a bonus episode of this podcast that is available only to subscribers of dnrstudios.com. It's called Ass After Dark. Adam's Bedtime Stories. Yeah.
Is there any other way to do the ass?
It's best after dark, I think. It looks better. But anyway, this episode posted this past Wednesday, so DNR Studio subscribers, it should already be on your feed or however you want to say it.
I found the picture.
Oh, yeah, there it is. It's the picture. And what's the date on that?
Oh, he was wrong. It was actually March 4th, 2018.
Oh, Joey. I think we're going to have to strip you of your title of Highly Superior Autobiographical.
And it maybe was a just, Sunday. That was when we used to do shows on Sundays.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. So July 9, 2017 was a Sunday. We're going to have to verify, but we can just call it AM now. Autobiographical memory.
Yeah.
No more Highly Superior.
Anyway, the point debunked. Is, if you want to hear Ass After Dark, you should subscribe. Listen, you can subscribe for a month. See how you like it. You can always cancel. But is that true, JB? Am I saying something correct?
You are saying the right thing, but we don't want you to cancel. Please pay us all the money.
Of course not.
But, you know, you do have the option.
I'm just saying. Okay, what else? Recommended viewing. So the last time we did recommended viewing was 2 weeks ago, and I said I have two recommendations, and then I only gave one of them. Because we got into a whole conversation about In the Heights.
Mm.
So my second recommendation for 2 weeks ago is the show Hacks on HBO Max, with Gene Smart as a Joan Rivers-type comedian and a young woman whose name I can't remember right now playing a Hollywood comedy writer who gets drummed out of Hollywood for an offensive tweet and has to go to Vegas and become Gene Smart's writer. And it is one of the best shows I've seen in a long time. I have a real love and affinity for Joan Rivers, and it's so closely based on her life that I wonder if Melissa had to give permission for them to do all the things they're doing. But it's wonderful. Gene Smart's fantastic. So Hacks on HBO Max. Also on HBO Max, Rent Revolution is a documentary about the first ever American Broadway musical to play in Cuba in over 50 years. I have a personal connection to this. Many years ago, I had a Cuban-American boyfriend, and one of his best friends at the time and now was this guy, Andy Senor, who was one of the angels on Broadway in Rent. He wasn't the original angel, but he was a replacement, and he toured as Angel all over the world, and he's Cuban-American. And so when the producers of Rent decided they wanted to do a production in Cuba, they asked him to direct it. So he flew with a whole production crew to Havana, and it is a really beautiful, inspiring, lovely story. And even though Andy was never nice to me the whole time I was going out with Philip, I still recommend his movie.
Aww.
Fuck you, Andy. No, he's enormously talented, though, and it's a wonderful movie. And then the last thing I'll recommend is Work in Progress with Abby McEnany on Hulu. Work in Progress stars Abby basically playing herself as a very butch, gender nonconforming, middle-aged lesbian with some mental illness issues. It is not what you would expect for a comedy, but it is incredibly well done and portrays a character that we don't ever get to see on television. Also, Julia Sweeney from Saturday Night Live plays herself.
Oh, Pat.
Yes, and that's one of the running plot lines is that this Abby McEnany, for the last 25 years, everyone who sees her says, oh, look, it's Pat. And it's like destroyed her life. Like that character destroyed her life. And
you get typecast.
She confronts Julia Sweeney in a restaurant about it, and Julia Sweeney becomes like a recurring character on the show. It's amazing. Really smart. So Work in Progress on Hulu. That was a lot. Joey, any recommendations?
You know, thank you for those recommendations because I've been just watching Golden Girls on Hulu, which is fabulous.
But how many times can you see the same episode?
Yeah, right. I got to get some new stuff going. So thanks for that.
You're welcome.
What have I been – I haven't really watched anything new lately. A lot of Law & Order SVU too.
Dun-dun.
Dun-dun.
Why does your list sound like an old woman watching TV?
Are you also watching Murder, She Wrote?
Or no. JAG? Are you watching JAG?
Oh, you know, I just saw something on Netflix, Shade. Though, that I think is cool. I started watching the Boys to Men episode of this pop thing on Netflix. Have you heard of this?
No.
The Evolution of Pop. Would you say, JB?
JB doesn't do Netflix.
Yeah, you don't do Netflix?
I didn't hear her on Netflix. Me and our friends.
You down with, you fucks with Hulu?
So, I'm sorry, Joey, what is it?
It's called Pop Something on Netflix. It's like the Evolution of Pop, and they're different episodes. I was watching the Boys to Men one yesterday.
I'll watch that.
Yeah.
JB, any recommendations? Don't say Leverage again.
Hold on.
It's like, bro, you looked at me and you said, don't do the same shit you did 2 weeks ago. Okay, sure. But I've been watching, I pulled the Joey. My shows aren't that old. Like, I've been watching stuff like Burn Notice.
I'm ancient. Yeah.
And White Collar.
Burn Notice and White Collar.
Yeah, I never got to like sit there and finish Burn Notice. And I never watched White Collar fully.
White Collar is with gorgeous Matt Bomer. Bomer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I gorgeous. Think he lives in my neighborhood. FYI, I don't want to.
I wish he lived
there,
in my ass,
right?
If you know what I'm saying.
Oh, it's This Is Pop is the documentary.
This Is Pop. Okay,
I just
thank
looked
it you,
up.
Joey.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get into the news. And this week, seeing as it is Pride Week in all these cities, almost every story this week is about someone famous coming out. We have three comings out to tell you about.
Yay! Yay!
The first was such a big deal that it came across my phone as an AP news alert. It was breaking news because the first ever active NFL player has come out of the closet. His name is Carl Nassib, or Nassib. He plays for the Oakland Raiders. And really, with no warning or fanfare, he released this statement on his Instagram. Take a listen.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for.
So in addition to coming out, he also announced that he's donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project.
Amazing.
And asking other people to do so as well. The Raiders showed their support, writing, "Proud of you, Carl," on their repost of Nassib's message on Twitter and adding a black heart emoji. Why a black heart?
Maybe it was from a black player?
Is that a thing?
I mean, for us, yeah, I send black and green hearts to my baby brother.
Why green?
Green Ranger.
All right, we're going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
More than a dozen NFL players have come out as gay, but only after their careers were over. Former University of Missouri defensive star Michael Sam was the first openly gay football player ever selected in the NFL draft, but he never made the final roster and retired in 2015, having never played in an NFL regular season game. So this is a first, and football is – you know, the biggest sport in America and therefore the biggest sport in the world. The Super Bowl is the single most watched event in the galaxy. So it's a really big deal, and I was feeling great about this story, and I was like, what a wonderful story and what a great guy to be donating to the Trevor Project and not making it all about him. And then...
Oh, no.
See?
There's always
take
an
a guess.
End.
Okay, if this was a joke, it was a lie... Because the way he was in the video is like he's smiling. It's like he's making a joke. I was like...
No, it's not a joke. He's really gay. The problem is people started doing deep dives on his social media, and they found a number of pictures of him with people who appeared to be very vehement Trump supporters. Wearing MAGA paraphernalia, Trump paraphernalia. Also, they did a search of public records and found out that he is a registered Republican. None of this means, you know, that he's a bad person necessarily, but it just leaves a really bad taste in my mouth. I don't understand how gay people can support fascism and particularly, you know, the most anti-LGBTQ president since Reagan in terms of the policies that he made and the protections against LGBTQ protections of LGBTQ people that he rolled back. So it's just kind of a bummer. Now it's not like he's a Trump. He hasn't said anything about Trump. He doesn't speak about politics, but you know, I judge people sometimes by the company they keep, and it looks like he's friends with a lot of shitheads.
Oh, then I guess I'm a whore because all my friends are whores.
I mean, that just makes me like you more, JB. Meanwhile, Laurel Hubbard will become the first openly trans Olympic athlete. Woo-hoo. I went to school with a girl named Laura Hubbard. This is Laurel Hubbard.
It's a great name.
Laurel. She's from New Zealand, and New Zealand has named Hubbard to its women's weightlifting roster for the upcoming Olympics in Tokyo, making her the first openly trans athlete to compete in the Games. She's 43. She will compete in the category for women over 87 kilograms, which is how much, Joey?
Ooh.
192 pounds. I'm going
to carry my American card here. Yeah.
This has been met with a lot of controversy, as you can imagine. apparently, the Olympic Committee has requirements for athletes who transition from male to female. And she has met those requirements. The requirements stipulate that the athlete must declare that her gender identity is female and cannot change that status for sports purposes for at least 4 years. And then they also test her testosterone levels, and the level must stay below 10 nanomoles per liter.
Nanomoles?
Interestingly, those who transition from female to male have no restrictions. They can do whatever they want. So
– interesting.
There are people who think that this gives her an unfair advantage over her cisgender female competitors. And, lady, stop. I'm sorry. Our guests are here, and my dog is going insane. You know, this isn't like when you have school sports and there's a trans girl who wants to play on the girls' team and everyone says, no, she can't. There's no question in my mind that she should be allowed in those situations. But when you're talking about professional sports in the Olympics, there might be an advantage to having been assigned male at birth and be competing against people who were assigned female at birth. I don't know. I don't know enough about weightlifting or physiology, but yeah, one of her opponents has said, like, listen, I support trans rights 100% and I support her, but I don't think this is fair to me. Anna van Bellingen, a Belgian weightlifter who's likely to compete against her, says, I'm aware that defining a legal frame for trans participants in sports is very difficult since there's an infinite variety of situations and that reaching an entirely satisfactory solution from either side of the debate is probably impossible. However, anyone that has trained weightlifting at a high level knows this to be true in their bones. This particular situation is unfair to the sport and to the athletes. I don't know. What do you think, Joey?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one. I like you, don't know enough about it to comment, but yeah. I mean, I'm all for people being who they are, but I don't know. I just don't know.
It seems to me that if her testosterone levels are the same as a cisgender woman, then I'm not – I don't see what the problem is.
What the problem is, right.
And if she's the same size as them. You know, they're in the same weight class and so forth. Right. So we shall see. Anyway, that was not a coming out. That should have not been in that. I should have waited on that story. The next celebrity who came out this week, tell me if you remember this name, Joey, David Archuleta.
Oh, sure do.
Yes. I said it when I first met her with those beautiful pink lips. She gay.
Girl, we all knew. We knew. He was just a teenager when he was on season 7 of American Idol.
I mean, so was I. So was I.
Archuleta was this adorable Mormon boy who's now only 30, because that's how young he was when he was on American Idol back in what the fuck was it, 2008, I think. Anyway, here's what's interesting. He didn't come out as gay exactly. He came out as a member of the LGBTQ+ community. Hold on. He said – I don't want to put words in his mouth. I'm trying to find the quote, but basically what he said was, I came out to my family in 2014 as gay. He's like, but since then – here, I'm reading a quote now. But then I had similar feelings for both genders, so maybe a spectrum of bisexual. He then went on to explain that he also learned he doesn't have as many sexual desires and urges as most people. Quote, there are people experiencing the same feeling of being LGBTQIA+ who are wrestling to follow their beliefs that are so important to them just as I have. Basically, he's saying I might be asexual, I might be bisexual, I might be gay. No matter what, I'm saving myself till marriage, but I'm definitely a member of the LGBTQIA plus LMNOP QRSTUVWXYZ community.
Not purely heterosexual, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And you know what? It's all fluid. I'm sure this was very hard for him.
Yeah.
Was it?
That Mormon church, man, does such a number on them.
She came out to her family in 2014, right? That's 8 years? No, 6 years. 6 years. No.
Seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
7 years.
Math is fun.
Yeah, no. Math is super fun.
What year are we in?
Yeah. So I'm like, you had your family. I'm assuming your family support because it seemed like nothing changed. And you just now coming out of the closet to everyone. I don't know. It just seems kind of weird to me.
I feel for him.
Yeah.
Listen, he became famous when he was still a child. And he's got this like heavy church indoctrination.
Right.
He had to go on a mission for 2 years. And I don't think this is easy for him. And I think, listen, in my heart of hearts, do I believe David Archuleta is probably just gay? Yes.
Mm.
But I think he's coming out in stages. And that's what's working for him. So good for him.
Good for him.
I applaud anyone who comes out. Better late than never.
Yes, queen!
And another person who came out this week, Ryan sent me this and was very excited about it. Laganja Estranja from RuPaul's Drag Race came out as a trans woman.
Oh, another one.
Yes, queen!
She said, there are so many other women around me who've inspired me to come forward today, and it's because of their fight and their struggle that I'm able to really do this and say that I'm nervous but not scared. The 32-year-old recording artist and cannabis activist revealed this in an exclusive interview to Entertainment Weekly. You know, it's interesting. I feel like we've come full circle when it comes to the overlap between drag and trans, being trans.
Mm.
In the days of Stonewall, there wasn't really a distinction. There were a lot of individuals who identified themselves as drag queens but probably would identify as trans women nowadays. They just didn't have the terminology for it.
Right.
Marsha P. Johnson called herself a drag queen, but she really was a trans woman. I think, you know, it's widely agreed. She lived as a woman. And so then for years it was, do not confuse drag queens with trans women. Drag queens are men. It is a performance. It is not living your life. And you know, we were indoctrinated that we should never confuse one for the other. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like so many prominent drag performers like Peppermint, like Carmen Carrera, like Gia Gunn, like Laganja are saying, no, actually we are women.
Trans.
Yeah. And you can be a trans woman and a drag queen.
Yeah.
Yes, queen, more power to you.
Yeah. Amen. Good for her. She says she feels beautiful, and she's, you know, learning how to be a woman without all the drag, you know, just to be natural, to look like herself. She thanks Gia Gunn, who was her roommate for a long time. She said, our transitions are different and will manifest in different ways, but it was incredible to see someone live their truth and be happy. As I said, other Drag Race contestants who have come out as trans include Gunn, Got Mick, who I fucking love, Peppermint, Kylie Sonique, Love, Jiggly Caliente, and Carmen Carrera, among others. So good for her. And happy Pride to all these people who have come out.
Yeah.
Joey, did you hear this terrible story about the Wilton Manor's Gay Men's Chorus at the Pride Parade?
No, but I'm reading it now. This is awful. What happened? Tell me about it.
I mean, we think we have problems in our chorus.
Oh, geez.
A truck plowed through a crowd at an LGBTQ parade Saturday night, killing one person and injuring another.
Oh, that's awful.
Both the driver and the three people who were hit by the car were all members of the Fort Lauderdale Gay Men's Chorus. Some wondered whether the driver intentionally hit anyone, because I could see that happening in our chorus. But police released statements Sunday saying it was an accident. Fort Lauderdale Mayor Dean Trantalis was feet away from the accident and told reporters Saturday night he thought the man intentionally drove through the crowd. But then on Sunday, he released a statement saying he was mistaken. quote, last evening at the start of what was supposed to be a celebration of pride for the LGBT community and commemoration of our hard-won victories for equality, our community faced the worst of tragedies. The grief of our LGBT community and greater Fort Lauderdale is, as a whole, is palpable. I don't understand what the car was doing there in the first place.
Yeah.
When we have parades in New York, the streets are shut down to cars.
I guess a car could go through a barrier, though. Was the driver drunk? Is there any indication there?
The facts continue to be pieced together. A picture is emerging of an accident in which a truck careened out of control. This was the Wilton Manor Stonewall Parade and Festival, which was happening around 7 o'clock on Saturday. The driver was wearing a Fort Lauderdale Gay Men's Chorus t-shirt and had a large pride flag on his 2011 white Dodge Ram. I'm laughing because it was so awful. I'm sorry. A DUI investigation showed no signs of impairment. The driver has not been arrested and is cooperating with police. It's just a terrible tragedy, and especially to happen at such a joyous event.
Yeah.
You know?
Sorry to hear that.
So praying for all of them and for the families of the family of the victim. Meanwhile, an anti-LGBT plus Christian activist has claimed that the Biden administration is recruiting lesbians to create a demonic military to help the Antichrist rise and take over the world.
I actually LOL'd when I read that.
And here's what I have to say to that. I mean, what could be better than a lesbian demonic military that will help the Antichrist rise and take over the world? This guy's been in the news before. His name is Gordon Klingenschmidt. He's an Air Force veteran and former Navy chaplain. And he says the Army and the CIA are actively recruiting lesbians into the military. I hate to break it to him, but you don't have to work very hard to recruit lesbians into the U.S. military. They tend to gravitate there on their own. Klingenschmidt referenced woke recruitment ads released by the CIA and the Army aimed at recruiting a diverse pool of candidates. The U.S. Army cartoon ad follows the story of Emma Milanolord, a child of two mothers who was inspired by the strong women in her life to find her inner strength and in the U.S. Army. I think it's cool that they have that ad. Klingenschmidt condemned this lesbian recruiting ad, claiming that Emma is serving her country admirably despite her same-sex parents who struggle with sin. Behind the story is why the U.S. Army policy is now to go out and bring people engaged in sodomy into the United States military. Do lesbians commit sodomy?
I don't know.
I always think of a sodomy as like a strictly male thing. I guess
what, because it's just penetration?
Well, sodomy, I always thought sodomy meant butt fucking.
Butt sex, right.
But maybe if you stick a dildo up your girlfriend's ass when you're a lesbian, that's lesbian sodomy? Lesbians, if you know the answer to this, call in at 804-TALK-ASS. Do you ever commit sodomy?
I just want to know how long it's going to take for this demonic military to take over the world. That's my question.
I hope it's soon.
Yeah. Let's shake things up.
Frankly, we need lesbians to take over the world.
We need to shake it up a little. Yeah.
Anyway, he goes on and on. He has a long history of making bizarre and hateful comments about queer people during his time in the Colorado House of Representatives, because of course he served in it. He claimed that gay people should be banned from teaching because they set a bad example because of the demonic spirit of homosexuality. In 2016, he asserted that Caitlyn Jenner needed to be exorcised, not exercised.
Like E-X-O-R, yeah.
Of her demonic illness because she's transgender. I mean, I don't disagree with him there.
I was going to say that.
The power of Christ compels you.
Exactly. She definitely has to be exercised. That is all the stories I had today. We finished quite early.
We have a voicemail. Is that for the
show? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, so back when I was talking about Ass After Dark at the top of the show, I forgot to mention that I've been getting lovely feedback from DNR Studio subscribers who heard the episode. And one of the things I heard was from Timothy Timeshifter, who left the following voicemail.
Hey, Adam. This is Tim in Maine, otherwise known as Timothy Timeshifter in DNR world. Just wanted to let you know I listened to the Bedtime Stories special episode and really, really enjoyed it. I've been a listener of yours since day one and a fan since back in the old facility days. I know that you're a great host, you're a good comedian and a fantastic interviewer, but you really are a really, really good storyteller. So thank you very much. Just wanted to give you some feedback. Beep.
Yay. Thank you, Timothy Time. Yes, Queen. Oh my God, that is so loud. Turn down that board. Ugh, I just lost my eardrums. Okay. By the way, before we go to our guests, I just want to confess something to the audience. I don't know if you've noticed anything different about me today, but I'm a little fucked up.
Actually, you've been wearing a tight shirt.
It's pretty standard.
Have I been okay?
Pretty standard.
All right. I feel like I'm a zombie. I didn't sleep at all last night.
Besides lady acting crazy, you're wearing a tight shirt.
I went to a bar last night that is named after a patriotic bird that shall remain nameless. And I met a man at the urinal, and it was love at first sight. And I invited him home. We left immediately, and he spent the night, and we had a lovely time. But I got zero sleep and may have imbibed in several substances.
If you're listening, Adam's guest, please call into the show.
Please call 804-TALK-ASS yes. And let us know what you thought of my ass. Yeah. Thank you. All right. And let's get to our guest segment, because our guests are here early. They're looking scrumptious. And more time with them. Yay. Our guests today are a Broadway power couple, as well as a couple of power bottoms.
Zing.
Actor-singer Daniel Reichert is an old friend of the ass. He's best known for originating the role of Bob Gaudio in Broadway's Jersey Boys, and he performs songs from the show in the touring group The Midtown Men. Patrick McCollum is a Broadway choreographer whose brilliant work has been seen in The Band's Visit, The Last Ship, Rocky, and the 2018 revival of Angels in America. So please give a warm-ass welcome to Daniel Reichert and Patrick McCollum together.
Thank you.
Oh my
welcome.
Goodness, how
welcome,
booming.
Welcome.
Patrick, get your face up to that mic. You can pull the mic towards you. You know. Oh,
this is our first joint interview we've ever done.
I heard it's that. Wow. And by that, you mean you smoked a joint before coming.
Yes, totally.
Yes.
Hence why we have Dunkin' Donuts right here.
That's yes. Right. Oh, we brought you guys donuts, Patrick. You.
Yes. I'll
thank you so daily. Much.
It's sexier than my mango.
It's a perfect morning to feed it,
they're
me a
gay donuts, basically. They're corporate gay donuts. Made by our dear allies at Dunkin'.
Now, we should point out that Dunkin' Donuts is not a sponsor of this show.
They really don't want us to
but
get it.
But they
the
can
box.
Be if they call 804.
Well, so
podcast.
We got all of these pride-colored, you know,
oh
decorated.
Oh, my God. That is
a very intestinally right. challenging
yes.
donuts. That we thought maybe we would get the pink holes for you guys, but we just got these yeah. instead.
I mean, I do love a pink hole. There is a thanks. Solid. There's a solid pink powdered donut. Then there's a pink glazed donut with rainbow sprinkles. Then there's a chocolate sprinkle, a vanilla sprinkle, and I don't know what these two are.
They're pride donuts.
Hmm. But what's the...
I don't know.
I think they're just glazed donuts.
I think they're glazed,
you
yeah.
should be proud if you're having 530 calories for a donut on Pride weekend.
Can you turn Daniel's sound down a little bit?
Oh, oh come on.
Blowing me away.
I'm supporting from the diaphragm.
You really are. Okay, so let's get down to it. I want to know, and I don't actually know the answer to this, how you two met. I want to hear the whole story, and please do not leave out any of the sexual details.
Who wants to start?
Okay, you start.
Okay, so I was working for Wicked as the dance supervisor back in, I don't know, 2008. And I was at the back of the Gershwin Theater. I was a dance supervisor, and so I would take notes. And this next day, they were going to do a five-year anniversary concert at the Gershwin and do the deleted songs and scenes from the first act of Wicked.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like a good idea. And then you're like, oh, wait, they deleted it for a reason.
They're not good.
Garbage. Not garbage, but, like, they just didn't make the cut. They didn't make the cut. So they were having people come in and perform. And one of the people was Daniel. And he had never seen Wicked. So on the Sunday matinee where I was taking notes, I walk into the sound booth and there's this very handsome guy and... We see each other and meet. And so we met at the back of the Gershwin Theater, which is gay AF.
Yeah. During a Wicked rehearsal.
I mean, it's like, it's not the sexiest story in the world. But we were both in relationships, and we just said hello. And then we went to the party together the next night with our respective relationships. Oh. And that was it. And that was it. You know, we just said.
And what year was that?
That was 2009. Or so, eight or
yeah, 2008.
Eight And then in the beginning of 10, we were both single. I started reaching out on the Grindr of its time, Facebook Messenger.
And, slid into his DMs, did you?
Yeah, exactly. Slid in and we started talking. And it was kind of like sexy talk and like, let's hang out sometime. Let's have
you
a
can
date.
Get a little closer now, Daniel.
Oh, I can.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, there
yeah, he
is.
Turned it down.
This is an emotional roller coaster.
I know, I'm sorry.
But anyway, and so we like had our first date was a like a home date. It was like, let's get right to it.
Had you been thinking about him during those 2 years?
Oh, yeah. And the thing is that Patrick is so not vain and in the best way. And so on his Facebook, you couldn't really tell really what his like attractive essence was all about, because it was all these kind of just weird random pictures.
There weren't a lot of that, thirst trap selfies.
Yeah, nothing like
didn't
that.
Didn't do a lot little. Of thirst traps.
And so that when he came over for this date, I was like showing him around. It was like instantly, I was just like, oh my God. Like, it took me so by surprise how intensely my attraction came out really fast. And that was now, yes, you know, 11 years ago.
So wow.
Yeah. 11 years in April.
That's a great story. Was it important for both of you to be with someone else who's in the creative arts field, the performing arts field?
No, I was actually looking for not that.
Because it can be hard.
And he yeah. still is.
I mean, you're kind of in different lanes.
I think that's what helps, is like that we both have, we're in the same world, but we're in like in different concentrations. And so because of that, we don't, there's not that competitive nature if we were both actors or both choreographers.
Makes sense. I had a history of dating guys in the theater, other actors, but they were Broadway dancers, you know, or music directors. So that it still wasn't the same thing, but it was much closer. And this is a healthier vibe for us, is that he doesn't have a performer ego vibe. And
did you ever work as a performer?
I did. I was a dancer. So I started dancing when I was 7 years old. And, and then when I moved to New York, I wanted to become a modern dancer, and then I realized it does not pay bills well.
No.
so I gave up that dream, and I was like, let me try musical theater, because I knew some friends who were in it. And so once I got the information on how to become, like how to get involved in musical theater, I booked Wicked, and I did Wicked in Chicago, and then I did it on Broadway as well.
Were you in at the same time as Marty Thomas?
I was not. We were ships in the night.
And you got two Wicked cast members on the show now.
Nice.
Marty's awesome.
We're everywhere.
I've been back with Marty a long time.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So we know Daniel's life story from his first time on the show. Tell us your life story. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Orange County, California.
Oh, nice. Conservative.
I grew up there, and it was very conservative, but beautiful.
Yes.
Like, we were just there visiting family, because I hadn't seen them since the beginning of the pandemic.
So
but,
nice.
Yeah, it's like gated communities, like manicured walkways and all this stuff. And then I went to school in Long Beach, California, which is awesome and has like...
What school?
Cal State Long Beach.
Uh-huh.
And so I was there and then wanted to move to New York. And... but all my family's still back in California, and it was nice to go out and visit and see everyone and get to feel the desert. I miss the desert.
Now, you've been dancing since you were 7, so I guess coming out of the closet was superfluous.
I mean, but still a shock.
Yeah.
Like, and yet, surprisingly, they were like, what, a Justin Timberlake superimposed penis picture on the AOL account? What happened? You're like, come on, no way. Get a life.
So when did you officially come out?
I came out when I was 20 or 21.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which nowadays is considered late.
Late.
But, you know, I'm a little older than you, so that was normal when,
yeah.
when I came out.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. The guy that I hooked up with last night used to be an actor, and
okay.
he went to school for musical theater, and he's like, I was the only gay guy in my musical theater program.
What?
And I said, how is that possible?
Yeah.
That he knows of.
That, yeah. Well, that's what I said.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're not going to come out when you're in college as a musical theater major, like, when the fuck are you going to come out?
Yeah.
Yeah. At Michigan, you know, there'd be like two straight guys in a class and we would bully them.
Yes. I went to Michigan too. I went to Michigan and Hunter Foster was the only straight guy in musical theater. Yeah. Boy, did he get a lot of tail.
We have so many.
You never know with people's families and stuff. Just playing devil's advocate.
No, I
you
get know, it.
There's always sure. there's always stuff.
You know,
I mean, I was a dance major at Cal State Long Beach, and I didn't come out until my senior year. And they like every woman who I was like holding up in the air was like, "No shit." It's
like, all right. Now, were you having sex with guys by then?
Oh yeah,
lots of it.
Yeah, I was doing yes because like on the weekends we'd go up to L.A. West Hollywood and you know.
So you had a gay life.
Yes.
You just didn't tell.
Yes, but I came out like in Australia. I went to Sydney, Australia, and that's where I like had my like awakening and had a really good time having that awakening.
Fun.
Yes. We're all just thinking about that now.
Daniel's first time having sex was with one of his Catholic school mates, if I remember correctly.
You
that's
do.
True, yeah.
Do you guys like to reenact that fantasy?
Oh, we talk about
put
it.
Put on the uniforms.
We love telling the stories of our lives.
Now, when I saw you guys in Fire Island last summer, which, by the way, was such a joy. I went to Fire Island. It was the height of the pandemic.
Oh, I miss it.
Although cases were down at that point. Yeah. And I was in a house with like eight other guys. And these guys were at their beautiful house. And they stopped by the pool with a ukulele and performed for me.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And I'm hoping you brought it today.
I did.
Yay. Now tell us about this song that has, I think, become your signature song.
Well, one of them, for sure.
Oh, good. You have more than one.
Yeah. Well, basically what happened was we were hanging out with a dear friend, Christopher Spaulding, and at our apartment in the West Village. Thank you, baby.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, I had been listening to like Hawaiian songs because I was trying to think of material just to move forward when we go out and about, and there was this song called The Hawaiian Turnaround, and I thought, well, it'd be so fun to like write a Fire Island version of this. So
a parody.
Patrick, Chris and I just got wasted and just wrote, just in one sitting, this whole thing was written, and we were just on fire. And it just and so we do still sing it quite a lot.
Now, for listeners who have not been to Fire Island, I'm sure you're still going to find this delightful. You don't need to know that much. There isn't a whole lot of.
I think it paints a portrait.
Yeah, I mean, if you've ever been to any sort of gay vacation, I think a lot of this will apply.
Yes.
So, without further ado, here's Daniel Reichard and Patrick McCollum.
I didn't even warm up.
I'm so excited.
Performing their original composition.
The ukulele is so cute.
It sounds good to me.
It's so little. Can you hear it okay? Okay.
Fire Island Turnaround. Hit it, boys.
When you arrive in the harbor, there's an unmistakable sound. Everywhere that music is found, the Fire Island Turnaround. Twinks that say yas, you hear them at the start and end of every song. And you'll find your yassing along, the Fire Island Turnaround. Beautiful views, every direction, tropical hues, picture perfection, houses astound, each time you turn around. At Sip and Twirl, you're sipping and you're twirling, you're caught up in a whirl. Then the poppers fall on the ground, the Fire Island turn around. Breakfast rosé, some push-ups and some squats, and now you're set for the day. Never eat, you may lose a pound, the Fire Island turnaround. Then you meet him, that gorgeous guy you've seen a couple times at the gym. Now your one true love has been found, the Fire Island Turnaround. brush your teeth twice, take your Truvada, clean out your hole. You know you oughta, you might end up turned on a meat rack mound. Taking your pill, you're dancing by the speaker, then you start to feel ill. Toilet paper's not to be found, the fire island turn around. Stay or go home, make a decision, hard to choose which. With blurry vision, make a strong drink, then we'll go back to town. When you get home, that moment when your feet are finally touching the ground, all at once you're Penn Station bound, the Fire Island turn around. This is the Fire Island turn around.
Yes, Queen.
This is the Fire Island turn around.
5-HTP.
This is the Fire Island turn around.
Lash Ferry.
This is the Fire Island turn around. Yes, Queen.
Yes. So good. Oh, I'm transported back to Fire Island. Yes. I'm there. I'm there
it's
right
Fire
now.
Fire Island in 3 minutes.
The best is seeing Patrick at the end because he kind of does like these little act outs.
Yes.
Even though it's audio only.
The passing of the 5-HTP.
And my favorite line is the rhyming of Truvada with Otta.
That's the soberest I've ever been singing that song.
Same.
Where so, I was like, I'm not used to
it. Is it better having, or worse that way?
I don't know. I think it's worse.
We'll listen to the episode and determine.
I feel like I want to have more live performances in my life. You know, in the old days, like, you hear about all these Hollywood parties where everyone would sing. Everyone would take turns at the piano and sing. And I've been to like one or two parties like that. Charles Bush's Christmas party is like that.
Mm. Wow.
There comes a point where everyone just moves to the piano and it's just one after the other. And everyone's enormously talented and interesting.
Yes.
And I just feel like that's a party.
That's a party.
Well, that's at our place. You know, we always have live music at our parties.
Invite me.
Thanks for the invite.
No, I was just going to say, y'all have to come. I would love to have you guys over.
It'd be so fun.
No, but it's fun. Live music really brings people together, and it really makes people feel in the moment. You know, when we play, and not just the silly songs, but any song, when you're like, that's why ukulele is a great instrument for anybody to play.
Yeah.
You know, because it's quick to pick up, mm-hmm. and you can take it around very easily. But when people are singing along to something, we're singing Dancing on My Own on the ukulele. I play that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And when
I love that song.
Everybody sings it together, and everybody just feels very alive and very present.
Music does bring people together.
It really
like that.
Does.
Maybe at the end of the show, we'll bump out with you performing Dancing on My Own.
Oh my gosh.
The ukulele, too, evokes like island sun, you know, like it
feels
has
like
that.
A very chill vibe.
It makes you feel very good. And it does evokes all those physical sensations that you feel when you're at the beach.
How long did it take you to play? Just out of curiosity.
Well, this
how
is
long
another Patrick and me story.
Yeah, I got him. He was out on the road with the Midtown Men and constantly like going from city to city. And he said, I just wish there was a way that I could be creating music or doing music out on the road that's not the show that made me feel creative. And I went to this little shop in the East Village and found this white ukulele, and it was for his birthday, and I was aww. Like, let me get him this white ukulele. And I gave it to him. He was very touched by it. We were at our favorite restaurant, Tavern on Jane, and I pulled it out, and he was like, he teared up. It was lovely. Aww. And then that weekend we were going to Fire Island, and we missed the damn train at Penn Station, so we had to sit on the post office steps
wait for the next one
with the riffraff and and wait for the next one for like an hour and a half. And during that time, he's like, well, let me pull this thing out. And he, in an hour and a half, by the time we got to Sayville, he knew how to play it.
See, wow. That's not something a normal person can do.
No, like, he's kind of a genius.
I did have a little bit of, I know how to read music and also, like, I played the guitar. And there's relationship to that. Yeah. But it was fun. Then we were playing, we were having songs already by the end of that weekend. But there was this one memory that's very ass show. is that we were one night, we were up really, really late, but it was still dark. And I was like, let's walk to the beach. And this is the first weekend with the ukulele. And we go, he says, sure, great. And we turn, out of our house and we're walking. And you could just see bodies on the boardwalk ahead. Just so you're like, okay, something's going on. And it's clearly these two guys just railing each other right up against like somebody's trash can. Okay. And I was just kind of looking and I was nervous. I was sort of nervous and I was like, and he grabbed the ukulele and he goes, don't play the ukulele.
Excuse me, gentlemen, would you like some romantic music?
I think that would have been a great story.
By the way, it wasn't a trash can. It was a recycling can and stopped giving away my business. I think it's a blessing whenever someone can play an instrument and or sing for other people. I took guitar lessons growing up from my cantor.
Oh, wow.
My cantor wanted basically an assistant, and he wanted someone who could, like, supervise the youth group chorus when he was busy with his cantorial duties. So he gave me free guitar lessons for like a couple of years.
Wow.
And I just never got any good at it. Mm. I can still play all the chords, but I could never do – my left hand and my right hand can't do two different things at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't have that brain.
You could consider this, the ukulele, because it's so much –
it's so light and little.
When you like a guitar, yeah. I took guitar lessons for a long time, and
now it has fewer
it's much
chords,
more intense. Mm. Your
and what's the chord structure on it?
It's different from
it's exactly like a C chord on the guitar is a F chord on the ukulele. So you have to kind of re-translate, but
it's
anyway.
Strung differently.
It's easy to play
already,
though.
You already played.
You know what a dipshit I am? I was like, who's Mike Cantor?
Oh my god.
he's the cousin of Mike Hunt. Yeah. My cantor's name was Cantor Groper, actually.
Oh, my God.
No.
Yeah. He was a very decent man,
hilarious.
Though. He never groped me.
Missed opportunity.
Wow. All right, in the time remaining, it is time to play everyone's favorite game, Ask Me No Questions. Are you guys ready?
Ask Me No Questions.
Yes.
Yes. Neither of you has ever been nominated for a Tony. Have you ever had a three-way with a guy named Tony?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, Anthony's, yeah.
Yeah,
several.
I didn't mean to pluralize that.
More than one Tony. Yeah. Good for you. What's the strangest place the two of you have ever had sex? I'm guessing it's up against a trash can in Fire Island.
Fire Island, turn around.
I don't know. Let's think about this.
I think at my parents' house in Cleveland.
That's true.
You're from Cleveland? Yeah. We're talking about this after. I'm from Cleveland.
Oh, we were just there.
That just is
nice.
Strange
just because your parents were there, or was it in a strange location
they were
in the
gone
house?
And
yeah,
I
your
think
childhood
there was
bedroom.
Else there too.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a three-way in your parents' house? Mr. and Mrs. Reichardt, if you're listening.
Just a joke, Mom and Dad.
Was it your childhood twin bed?
Yeah. Oh, yes, exactly.
With all the science pictures up on the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
And we both cried in shame after.
Now, you're both huge fans of The Ass. What is your all-time favorite episode?
We really are. Fans. And we, in fact, I can answer that.
Yes.
We were just in California. We were driving all over. And the Luke Trong episode.
Oh,
really?
Fuck,
well,
yes.
It was the most recent, but we're fans as well, and it was just the cutest, but there's a lot. I love every episode. I love every
Thank
episode
you.
Of the show.
Yes,
you guys
we listen
such
to
a great job.
With regularity.
Can I just say, it was very nice, because I met Daniel, but it was very nice to meet this man. He's like, it's very nice to put a face to a buttery voice.
He's
I was
lovely,
like,
right?
My voice is buttery?
It's buttery.
Luke, I thought Luke was interesting. He wasn't what I expected. He was kind of like a California surfer
dude.
Totally
was.
He's from Orange County, where I'm from, and so immediately I was like, I get this person, because I've grown up with people like him, and but I just loved.
I kind of thought we'd have this like in depth conversation about what it meant to be Asian and porn. And he was like, I don't really think about it. Like, yeah. He just was like so nice.
Like,
so
I have notes on this.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, you're going to a party, and you can only have one of the following: a pitcher of margaritas, a medical marijuana vape pen, or a tab of pure MDMA. Which do you choose?
The tab.
Yeah.
No hesitation.
The tab.
I mean, that is the correct answer, yeah. Let's be honest. Number two, I would say the medical marijuana vape pen. And lastly, the pitcher of margaritas.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's basic.
Who's making the margarita?
Thank you.
But who's to say, exactly. You know, in any real party, though, you can have all three and will have all three.
I mean, if it's a good party, yeah. By the time you go home, you've had it all.
Plus the ukulele.
Oh, yes, exactly.
What is your favorite part of your partner's body?
Daniel's chest.
He does have nice titties.
Oh my God, they're
great. They're out. Titties
they're always,
always
out when he comes to this dude.
Always, but I mean, lead with it, right?
Yeah, girl. Show off your D cup.
Wonderful. They're wonderful handles.
Now, are the nipples sensitive?
Not. I mean, I would say
I like them being touched, but he's I don't actually like doing them it. Being like pinched.
Same.
I've heard you say that.
Yeah.
I
and my
really
nipples are always
like
hard, so people assume I want them like punched and chewed on and squeezed, and I don't.
Yeah.
All right. So, what's your favorite part of Patrick's body?
Well, I really truly love it all, and I love his chest too. But the cheeks are like the magic.
The butt cheeks.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, can we see?
Sure.
Don't just hold them down, but let's just get
it. He's got that modern dancer ass.
It's cute.
Yeah.
It's cute.
It's a nice cute. It's a nice bubble. Well, he's not wearing the tightest of shorts. Now, is the ass hairless? I need to know for my listeners.
Well, it depends. It depends on
how recently you've groomed.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like a clean workspace.
Yeah, me too. I enjoy it.
Talking ass on the ass.
Yeah, right. Because you never know who you're going to meet at a urinal. You know, you got to be ready.
I'm telling you, last night was really fun.
It sounds like it was fun.
I mean, you're firing on all cylinders today. You really are.
I got another hour after this.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is more likely to do the following? And you guys can just yell these out. Do the dishes.
Patrick.
Talk dirty in bed.
Oh, both of us.
Oh, I love that. Get into an argument with a stranger.
Patrick.
Really?
Yeah.
You seem so chill to me.
I am, but I'm my fuse for being like inconvenienced is short.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a politician. I don't let it down.
Yeah, Daniel's very, very even keeled with things like that.
But neither of us really get in conflict with strangers.
Yeah,
really
I would
ever.
Be surprised. Mm. Cry during a movie.
Patrick.
Go more than one day without taking a shower.
Both of us. Me. I would say me.
Yeah.
And finally, come first.
Daniel.
Isn't that so much pressure on you? I feel like I'm always the first one to come, and then I'm like, ugh. Now I have to like do this work to make the other person come, and I just am exhausted. I just want to like, relax.
Exactly.
You're looking
what you
at
mean,
your watch.
But, you know, it is sort tunnel. Of like a... you know, it's like a show business cue, like when like the Oscars or orchestra starts playing the playoff music. That's my version.
And presenting next is Liam Neeson.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and then right. Liam Neeson walks in,
and he finishes the job.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, we have just a couple of minutes left. Can I trouble you for Dancing on My Own? I really do love that song.
I didn't even warm up here.
Ew, you already sang.
I can't wait to hear an acoustic version of this.
Yeah. Singing. The song of the 90s. Or the 2010s.
Somebody said he got a new friend. But does he love you better than I can? Big black cloud over my town. I know where you're at, I bet he's around. Yeah, I know it's stupid, I just gotta see it for myself. I'm in the corner watching you kissing. I'm right over here, why can't you see me? Oh, I'm giving it my all, I'm not the guy you're taking home. Oh.
can people follow you online?
At Patrick McCollum Moves on Instagram.
Daniel, how can people follow you online?
Follow me, Daniel Reichert Lives on
Life.
Daniel Reichert Lives. Daniel Reichert Life on Instagram.
Joey. Joey's Jam on Instagram.
Ooh.
JB.
Stalking Anarchy 12 only on Instagram.
I want to thank you guys so much. Please come back again anytime. I love you both.
Thank you so much.
Tune in next week to hear another brand new ass with our special guest, openly gay American Idol finalist David Hernandez. Subscribe to this podcast at dnrstudios.com. Don't forget to order your ass merch at adamsank.com. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at adamsank and on TikTok at adamsankofficial. Email me at adam@adamsank.com. Have a great week, bitches. Happy Pride.
Happy singing.
I'm right over here. Why can't you see me? Oh, I'm giving it my all. I'm not the guy you're taking home. Oh, I keep dancing on my own.
I keep dancing on my own.
Yes, queen.
I keep dancing on my own.
And we're out.
Yeah.